Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
And with us today, the book of Psalms, chapter 119. Chapter 119, we'll begin at verse number 33. As I was in this particular scripture this week, I thought maybe I'd get to share it at revival. Maybe I will. But God's made it clear this morning that we also need this particular word. And so I'll pray for all of us today to receive it, to allow him to change us with it. It's not just word, folks. It's the word of God. Psalms 119, beginning at verse number 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for my judgments, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Father, open your word to us today, and may we receive it with joy, but also obedience. Help us to be changed now by this truth. We trust that you'll provide the unction to share it, and Lord, that it find its mark in each one of us. For we ask this earnestly, as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We touched on the first part of this, and I don't think I'll spend a great deal of time on it this morning, but I want you to look at these particular verses in three different ways. I believe a great number of these particular sonnets or poems in the 119th Psalm were things that David prayed. As God had given them to him, I believe that they had become to him something more personal. I don't know if you pray the word, but it's a good exercise. Praying is obviously something we're asked to do and commended to do. But when we pray the word, we're also incorporating truth, something that we can trust in and believe in. You ever wanted to pray and didn't know what to pray? You didn't know how exactly to pray? Often I think what you'll find in the word of God is instruction in how to pray. There was a time when Jesus taught the disciples. In the book of Matthew, you'll find that he taught the disciples how to pray. They refer to it as the Lord's Prayer, but what it truly is simply a method of incorporating many different things into our ask before God. And what I think we find in the 119th Psalm is something very similar, but expounded in a much deeper way. I want us to look at this today in just three different ways. When we come to God and we begin to pray, I believe there ought to be an earnest desire for us to change. If when we come to God, we're not willing to change, why are we coming? If we're simply coming to lay before God our needs and our desires and our wants and our wishes, then I think we might have missed the mark. But when it comes to being humble and broken and contrite, and if we, I believe, as the psalmist, begin to grasp this truth, I think we'll find that there's great power in prayer. I find at least three different things here that we're going to hit this morning as quickly as we can. But we need, when we come to pray, to be asking God to, number one, change our mind, and then change our will, and then change our actions. And I believe in all of these, if our request is earnest, that God can help us with all of these things. I don't know about you, but I often need him to change my mind. I need him to fix what's broken, actually. My mind gets in such a wreck sometimes that I simply need him to wash it anew, to make it new. What the scripture said, the washing and regeneration of our minds, right? The renewing of our minds. And what a wondrous thing when we go to God in prayer and we experience that. I hope some of you know what I'm talking about, else your prayer life is truly insignificant or insufficient. If you don't know what it's like to go to God in prayer and say, I want you to renew my mind. I need you to help me. I'm struggling. Has anybody ever be so discouraged or disappointed or disillusioned that when you go to God, what you simply need is to be reset? You need to start over. You need something that brings you back to that place of beginning, that we recognize that it's not about the world. It's not about the circumstances of life. It's not about the pain we may be experiencing, the inflictions or afflictions of life, whatever may be causing the suffering or the problems in your life. May I say to you today that there is a renewing of our mind that is available every time that we go to God in earnest prayer. We find here the psalmist addresses in the first two verses we read to you this renewing, this recovery, this resetting of the mind in two different ways. Number one, he said, I want you to teach me your word. I want you to open to my heart your word. I want to confess before you, Father, that my heart is prideful and that my mind has become infected by that pride. I want you to cleanse me of that pride. And as I come to you broken here right now, I want you to teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. I'm committing myself, Lord, in this prayer that I not only want you to teach me, but I'm saying to you that if and when you do teach me, I will keep them. I will follow them. I'm making a commitment. If you will do this thing for me, I will also do my part. I want you to know that prayer has personal responsibility to all the time. Amen. It has a responsibility for you and I that when we do pray, we not only seek God to do his part, but we're willing to say, I'll do mine. Now, I believe that's where the rub comes in for a lot of us, is that we're asking God to do these things that we need that are so desperate spiritually, but we're unwilling to do our part. What the psalmist said clearly was, Lord, I'm desiring more than anything that you would teach me of your word. You know, people really don't understand the full importance of understanding his word. May I say to you today that if you ever stop becoming a student of the word of God, you have truly fell to the wayside. You have fallen over, amen. You have found yourself in that spiritual ditch when you stop being a student of the word of God. How many of us today truly recognize the importance of the word of God and the need for the word of God in our life? Amen. You might think today that it really is insignificant. It doesn't matter. It's just a book of stories. May I say to you today, that's as far from the truth as it can be. The word of God today is living. It is the bread of life. It is the very thing that is the essence of salvation. The power of God unto salvation is in his holy word. I can assure you today, the more you know about it, the more you understand it, the more he has revealed it unto your own heart, the better you'll be. There's a responsibility for us, having been taught the word of God, then to do it, right? Not to be just hearers of the word, but to be doers also.
That when we hear the word of God, we accept it as he begins to work that power within us, and he begins to renew our minds with the knowledge of this truth, that we allow the working of the Holy Spirit in us to become students of the word that are also obedient unto it. Lord, when I pray, I need you to change my mind. Change my mind. And many of us wake up and when somebody asks us about it, we just say we woke up on the wrong side of the bed, right? That's just an excuse. The problem truly is that our mind has been infected already by the cares of this life, and we're living according to the cares of this life and not according to the knowledge within the Word of God. You say, how can that be? Because according to the Scripture, the Bible said that His mercies are new every morning. So every day you get up out of bed is one that we should be able to rejoice in God, that He has loved us once again, that He's cared for us one more time, that He loves us and is able to sustain us. And any time that we allow our minds to be brought into the infection of this world, we'll find that we truly are the sickest of all. I just woke up on the wrong side. I'm just in a bad mood today. Shame on us. What the psalmist said was, Lord, change my mind. Which I may have woke up not feeling well. I may have woke up with the burdens and the cares of this world on my heart. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you to teach me again, because I've obviously forgotten what you've promised me. I've obviously allowed to slip from my mind those things that are in its very essence truth. Those things that recover me, that renew me, that help me. Lord, change my mind. Amen. Anybody recognize the mind as being a battlefield itself? Yes. Isn't that where the enemy tries to affect us most? It's in our mind. And no wonder there's so many holes in our head, amen, so many different points of input that we hear and we see and we smell and we taste. All it comes just surrounding our brain. And the enemy attacks in that way. And he does everything that he can to infect your mind with the disease of this world. Let me be honest for a minute. My heart is broke today. It has been. My heart remains broken today for so many whose mind has been infected by the enemy. You say, how so? Because those things that are not of God reign in their lives. How did it happen? It started in the mind. That's where the devil comes. What do we know about the enemy today? We know that he's a liar. We know that he does not tell the truth about anything. Many people believe many things, but the truth is that if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it is not true. He takes the very things that have pieces of truth and sensibility and rationality, and he will bring them to the logic of our minds, and he will convince us that this is the right way. It doesn't line up with God. Oh, God, I need you to renew my mind. To take what has been filtered in and that I've allowed in my mind and reset it. Break it down. Take it all the way back to the starting place. In whom really do I trust? Where really is my hope? Is it in this world? Is it in the guardrails of this world or this life? Is it in the suppositions of so many that it must be this way or that way, or you do this or you do that? Or no, it ought to be in God. In Him alone, in His Word. Yet our minds are often so dangerously changed to something that is not of God. Ask yourself the question, where am I today? Here's what everybody understands about oneself. Right? There can be 100 things going through my mind right now. Maybe not 100. I'm barely able to keep a few thoughts going. But you understand what I'm saying? There are all kinds of things. How many realize that while I stand here doing my very best to hear God, that there is an outside force right now, Angel, that is trying to whisper in my ear. Ain't it true? There's one that often sits right here telling me every time that I stand, they're not listening. They don't care. But he's a liar, friend. He's a liar. I need my mind to be fortified against the enemy's attack. You say, how do I get this fortification? David said it. He said, teach me according to thy word. The truth. I need to know the truth. You say, preacher, why in the world are you so bent on keeping the doors to the church open? Because people need truth.
Amen.
You won't make it without his truth.
Amen.
And the responsibility laid on me is to preach the gospel. Why? Because men are dependent on the word of God.
Amen.
If left to ourselves, we're in an insane asylum.
Amen.
We're locked away. I couldn't see that. Without Christ, where would I be? I get in a mess the way it is. Where would I be without the influence of the Word of God and the absolute writing of truth to the error of lie that constantly bombards my mind? Well, I can see I ain't going to get past mine this morning. But my, how our minds need some help. Oh, you see, the problem is that people allow the influence of the enemy to come in. You know what Jesus said? He said, I don't care if it's an angel that comes to you and whispers in your ear. If it don't line up with this, he said, it's not true. He said, let him be accursed. He said, every man is a liar. Let God be true. Turn your head from the things of this world and allow your mind to be washed and made new in the Word of God. Now, the psalmist was willing to admit. He said, I understand, Lord, that I have a responsibility in this. I have a responsibility to respond. But I am saying to you that if you will help me, if you will teach me, I will do it. Now, you're starting to get in the right frame of mind when we get into that place that we can earnestly pray a prayer and say, God, teach me thy precepts. Teach me your word. You remember in school, some of you will remember that you probably had a teacher or two that was your favorite. And you know what? Likely in those classes you learned more than you did in some of the other ones that maybe you didn't like the teacher or you didn't like the subject. But what you found was is that there was one person or a couple of people, you know what, they cared for you and they invested in you. And when you went into that class, a lot of times you'd be listening, you'd be attentive, you'd be taking notes, you'd be paying attention. And if no other reason, because you knew that the instructor somewhere or another cared for you. May I say to you today that Jesus cares for you. Amen. The best instructor I've ever been under is the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen to that one. The best instructor that I have ever been tutored by is the Holy Spirit of God. You say you talk as if it's a person. Thank God it's a person. And he dwells inside of me. His mission is to teach me. Boy, I've given him a fit. I've made it hard many a time. When he'd wake me up in the middle of the night and say, I've got something to teach you. No, I want to sleep. No, I don't want to do it now. But oh, he has the power, Melissa, to pull me and say, no, you're going to learn this now. You're going to come with me. You're going to be exposed to something right here. I've broke you to the point that there ain't nothing but tears left. And now I can build in your mind those things that will create a fortification that'll be able to keep out the wiles of the devil. I'm going to teach you something. David said, teach me. Teach me. Here I am. Teach me. But not only did he say, teach me. You to look what he said in verse number 34, but he said, make me understand. How many times have you learned something, but just as soon as you got out the door, you forgot what you learned? Right? See, there is an application that has to be made when true instruction is given. And oftentimes, that's what God's doing. When he brings us low and he creates contrition and brokenness in our heart, he creates a situation in our lives that suddenly we're receptive to the truth. We're receptive in our minds to the knowledge that we need. But what we need is not only the knowledge of truth, but we need the ability to apply the truth. Right. Some say the difference between knowledge and wisdom is the application. And I don't know if that's truly right, but I can say this much. They're on the right track. They're on the right track when it comes to wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to take what we've learned and apply it in the godly manner, the way that it was intended. Yes, I want you to teach me, God, but I also need you to make me understand. Make me understand. Oh, I just love this part, don't you? I'll never get tired of saying this. Do you believe that God can make you do anything? Oh, I just love that. That sometimes, whether I like it or not, he'll just make me. You know what David was doing? He was praying it. He, not only will God do it, he said, I want you to do it. Anybody there with me this morning? Oh, God, help me. Help my mind. Help my mind. Struggle.
It's probably at least once a week, if not every other week, I'll get a call from a brother, a pastor. Why, they confide in me. But they'll say I'm struggling. I'm struggling. And it's every now and then I'm a calling them. You know where the struggle is, don't you?
Amen.
It's every situation that is contrary to the will of God that affects me. Don't it affect you? Surely it does. Surely it bothers you when you see things going on and circumstances that I can't fix. And that's when it starts. You see, I'm my worst enemy.
Yes.
There's a thousand voices, seems like, in there sometimes, and they're all going different directions. You know what I need when that happens? I'm giving him some of. I need help. I need him to reset my mind. Anybody works on Microsoft, you know what this means. There are times she just locks up. And the only option you have at that point is to put your finger on the power button until the screen goes black. Now, you call the help desk, you know what they're going to tell you? They'll say, put your finger on the power button until the screen goes black. Why? Because it simply needs to reset. It simply needs to shut down of all the things that he's been open to. He's got to bring all that back, pack it right back where it is, and then open it anew. That ever happened to you spiritually?
Amen.
I'll go on record and say it's probably every week for me. Sometimes every day of the week. That I have to say to God, I need you to change my mind. I need you to help me. David is willing to pray that prayer. David's willing to say the two things that he needs to say in order to get that reset, to get that place where he can then again launch for God and do the things he knows he needs to do. He's willing to accept the responsibility involved in learning. But he's also very bold in saying, Lord, I'm asking you right now to teach me and to make me understand. Amen. What I've been taught.
Amen.
And he said, in both of these circumstances, I realize I have a personal responsibility to respond as I have been instructed and to do what you have told me to do. And he said, what I'm telling you, what I'm telling you right now, he said, if you'll do it, he said, I'll do my part. I don't know about you, but that's where I am most of the time. Saying, God, I need you to help me. If you'll just show me what to do, I'll do it. I'll go. Make me to understand. And I'll go. I'll follow it. I'll do it. Am I the only one that says, God, I don't know it. I don't know which way to go. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to. I need you to teach me and then make me understand. What I'm saying, truly, God, what I'm saying is I need you to change my mind daily. Cleanse me of those things that are bereft of godliness. Help me to understand your truth. Help me take your word and purge me thoroughly until I am in a right mind and a right spirit. Right. We will never be right with God if our mind isn't also right.
Amen.
You can't separate the mind from the heart. It's linked by that spiritual essence we call the soul. That's why we have voices. That's why in me there is something that can speak when my tongue don't move. Because I am more than just flesh. I am also mind and spirit. If you think by disregarding the importance of having a right mind with God, you have just allowed the enemy the snare he needs.
Amen.
You say, how do you know? Because I've been there. And you have too. And some of you are there now. Your mind is snared by a lie, a conjuring of the devil. And he has shared this with you. And suddenly, somehow, it has a logical appeal. It has a rationality to it. And we simply just receive it as if it's truth. But it's not truth. It's not truth. David understood the effect of this. He understood the power of the lie. The power of changing just a little bit of God's word. He understood the deficit a man gets in when his mind is infected by the lie.
Amen.
You remember what we preached last time, what David said. He said, remove from me the way of lie. Right? And here we are now in verse number 33, and David is saying, God, I need you to teach me according to your word. And he said, Lord, what you teach me. He said, I'll do it. He said, but not just teach me. He said, I want you to make me understand the precepts of this truth, the depths of this knowledge. Make me understand the application in my life. And as I go from here, And I commit myself to do the things of God. I'm confessing to you, I cannot do it without a right mind. Without a right mind. Come get a song. Or come play something. I need a right mind. But not just the right mind. I need the knowledge and the understanding and the wisdom and the ability to apply it. I need him to make me understand. But maybe next time I'll get to preach. But I also need my will. My will, right? Not just my mind, but I need my will, my want to. God, I need you to change it. And that's what he'll talk about in the next few verses. Because there's sometimes, Jeff, I don't want to. And I'm sorry. But it happens every day. That God will say, I'll say, David was able to pray through that. Not just my will, but then there's my actions, verse number 37. Where David was willing to pray with sincerity. He was willing to pray. Turn my eyes. He's getting serious about it. He said, I don't want any part of my life to not be under the direct control. My will, my actions, all of these things are who I am. And that's what he summed up in the last part. They had this freestyle thing, aren't they? But whatever. What we need is God to change us.
Amen.
We need to be honest in our prayer and say, God, I need help here. I need help here. I need help here. Because all three of them, two I is. I'm body, I'm mind, and I'm spirit. I'm all of it. And Billy, I need help in all three categories. I struggle. What about you? I struggle. But what David is doing, I mean, he's being honest before us, right? He's not saying, oh, you got to do this. No, he's saying, here's what I'm going to do. He said, I didn't learn. Here's what I'm going to do. Two for the price of one on that one. Both went down. Well, I need him to change my mind. I don't know about you, but I need it. Desperate for it. If you need him today, let's all stand. You've got a need of God. Amen. Thank you, God, for loving us in spite of ourselves.